So this morning I want to open up with ways that we can honor God. But I want to share, as I always do, I like to share a story that we can relate to this message this morning. There was a veteran, he was 96 years old. Of course, he's retired, and every single day he would go to Arby's to have his lunch. And he'd been doing this for quite some time, maybe years, to the point where the employees at Arby's got to know him pretty well, and he got to know them pretty well. And as he would come for lunch, some of those employees would actually go and sit with him, maybe one or two. Somebody would always sit with him while he ate his lunch. Well, again, they got to know this man in a more personable way, and they decided that they were going to get a gift card for him. Well, the police department wanted to be a part of this opportunity to bless this veteran. So it was the police department in this town plus the Arby's restaurant. They all got together, and they put together over $200 in a gift card for him every day to go to Arby's and eat, and it wasn't coming out of his, you know, his income. Well, the corporate of Arby's got word of this, that this was actually happening and that their employees were doing this for this man. Well, Arby's corporate decided that they were going to give this man a free meal every day for the rest of his life. So from that, what started out to be something that maybe one or two people had the idea to a department, a police department, from a police department to a corporate business who wanted to be a part of it. All it takes is that opportunity for somebody to be motivated to have the intentions of honoring someone and blessing them. So, and that's what they did. They want to honor this man for his service and for the kind of man that he was. So what's it mean to be honored, or what's the definition of honor? It says to regard with great respect or courteous. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the word honor is pronounced kubod, K-E-W-B-O-D-E, kubod. And if you were to look that definition up, it means splendor or glorious or glory, or again, honorable or honor. Now, when you translate that word from kubo or honor, what that means is to make weighty. You go, well, what's that got to do with honor? Well, so when we honor someone, we add weight to them. What that means is we measure them, and we find them worthy of honor, and we want to, you know, honor them. So when we honor God, we show that we esteem him above everything and everyone else when we honor God. Now, God gave us the gift of this, his word, the Bible. But in the word, in his Bible, the gift that he's given us, it tells us who God is, that he is holy, that he is faithful, that he is trustworthy, he's loving, he's kind, he's merciful, he's gracious, and he's good. In this word, we see it time and time again, how God's mercy, God's grace can change a life. So the more we read of this word, the Bible, the more we realize who God really is, and that's when we desire to praise him. For example, so when we honor God because he saved us, it says in John 3:16, we all know that one, that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that those who believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But listen to the next part of this verse. It says, for God did not send his son to condemn the world. Again, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus would be saved. So by sending his son, he wants, because he loves us, he wants us to receive the promise. And that promise only comes by faith. So number two, we glorify God because he is the creator. in Revelations 14:7. It's the English Standard Version, but it says, "And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven, earth, the sea, and the springs of water.'" So we're going to glorify God because he is our creator. The thing is this, creation is quite a challenge in itself, but God made it out of nothing. We all know that. He spoke it all into existence. In Hebrews 11:3, he spoke and the unseen things appeared. This action alone of what God did by creating this universe, the galaxies, by creating them, that in itself should be enough for us to want to praise him, to worship him, to glorify him. Number three, we worship God because he is Emmanuel. Matthew 1, verses 23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel." And we know what Emmanuel means. It means God be with us. So that's God's way of saying, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And because God dwells within us, he's given us the faith to believe that he is God, that he is the creator, that he sent his son to save the world, to save the world. With that, we need to not just glorify him, worship him, and praise him. We need to make him first in our lives. So we've heard what it means to honor God. We've heard why we should honor God. But how can we honor God with our life? Well, first, when we honor God, we need to intentionally focus, be deliberate about our actions and the things that we do that will honor God. A good example is Caroline's sister, Renee, who's deliberately stepping out and reaching out in an area that she's never been there. Has she been to?
She did go on a trip last year.
Okay. So, but see, God does that nudging and gets them. So now when she's ministering to these people in different areas of the world, she's got a little grasp of what they deal with. And so God will use that ability that she has. He's given her the boldness and the confidence, the faith that she needs to do what God's called her to do. But it was deliberate. It's intentional what she does. So we honor God when we are good stewards of our wealth and our first fruits that we're given. It says in Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce." So everything that we get that is good, we know that it comes from God. Whether it's a little bit or whether it's a lot, we know that what we get that is good, it comes from God. It's not our abilities, but his abilities. That there is another good reason why we would honor God. But the thing is, when we honor him, we got to make sure that it's deliberate, that it's something intentional on our part, that it's something that we desire to do. And I'm sure Renee desires to do what she's doing. So, and of course, Chase, Cheryl's grandson, that's a desire that's on his heart to play the instrument that he plays it to give glory unto God. And I know I've shared this before, but I remember when I first started singing years and years and years ago, decades ago, my father always used to say, you can sing just as good as Dolly Parton. And he wanted me to sing country. And I said, no, God gave me this gift. I mean, that's when I'm 17, 18 years old. And, you know, I knew that it was a gift that was given to me by God to be used for God. I did not use it for any other reason but for that. Number three, when we honor God through our sacrifice in our lives. In Romans 12:1, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, that by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service." Spiritual service? Wait a minute. What's that? Spiritual service. Well, Paul is describing spiritual service as a complete dedication, an intentional, deliberate act on our part to step out and serve God. Again, Paul, you know, he's describing spiritual service as a complete dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, D.L. Moody, he is an American evangelist. He's a publisher, and he also founded both the Moody Church and also the Moody Bible Church. He says this, "The measure of a man is not how many servants he has, but how many men he serves." That pretty well says it all right there. It's not by, you know, the American dream is to have as many people under you and, you know, that you can, you know, the bigger the better. But in God's eyes, the more you serve others, instead of having others serve you, the more you serve others. That's what gets God's attention. Number four, we honor God when we praise and we worship. In Psalms 86, verse 12, it says in the English Standard Version, "I give thanks to you, O Lord God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever." These are things that we're asked to do. That's when we get God's attention. Number five, when we honor God through our obedience. In John 14, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." But it goes on to say this in that scripture, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." So God's not saying, "I want you to do all these things, but you're on your own." No, he's saying, "I'm going to send you a helper to lead and guide you. But not only that, I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth." This is our manual. This is what we use. This is what we lean on. This is what we go to when we have a question. And then there's others who are, you know, like Renee, who's been around the block with some of the experiences that some of these people are dealing with in their lives. And she's able to share and put a hope back in some of these people that have no hope or feel or think like they have no hope. That's a lie from the pits of hell. When you think that there's another day that you can go by and, you know, and get through it. The other day I was, you know, studying, and I don't know if some of you are aware of Rick Warren. He has a church in California. I think he's, I'm thinking that I've heard that he's going to retire, but he's been in the ministry for decades and decades. He had a son who committed suicide. And they knew he had, before this happened, they knew that he had some emotional issues. And they dreaded the day that day that might come where he would end his life. And he shares this emotional, very, very emotional. I mean, he literally breaks down when he shares this testimony of the day that they find his son, that he gave his, you know, he died. And it just grieves him to this day. And he says, I'll never know the reason, you know, why it had to come to this. All of us know somebody that's made that choice. But if we in some way can intentionally, deliberately put a hope back in them, you know, God has us like Esther for such a time as this, to cross a person's path, to minister, to put hope, to share love, to be there, to have for that person to lean on. And I'm sure all of us know someone that's going through some type of emotional or mental struggle right now. And if God's laid that person on your heart, you need to stop what you're doing. And if you can't call them, then pray for them. Then pray for them. I have a grandson that I think of him every single day. And that's a thought that's been on his mind for a long time. And every time there's times I've tried to call him, or times I've tried to go to where he works and, you know, just tell him that I love him, and he's not there. But then I know that if God's laid him on my heart, that I just need to stop everything I'm doing and just pray for him. And that's what we need to do. We need to be intentional with our prayer. with our time before the Lord when he lays someone in our hearts. Okay, so with that particular scripture, it says in John 14, he says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. So because we know that, we can stop everything we're doing and we can pray for that person that God's laid on our heart. Number six, we honor God by putting him first in our decision making when we seek his will and not our own. And I know we've all been there. We've all, you know, well, but Lord, I want to go this way with this. I want to take off and do this thing. And yet you feel this hesitancy. Well, that's the Holy Spirit saying, maybe down the road, but not right now. He's not saying no. Maybe he's saying not right now. But our flesh, our mind wants to go there. We're excited. We want to take off and do that thing. And if it's a negative thing, you're going to get a check in your spirit. You're going to know that that's not something that God would want you to do. But if there's a desire to do something and it's something that's going to improve your life or someone else's life, maybe it's a trip or whatever, and you want to go on this trip, God's saying not now, but yeah, down the road. I have a reason. Just wait. And you say, well, God, let me know when it's your timing and not my timing, because it's so important. And I'm going to share a story why that's very important, that we go on God's timing, not our own time. So in Proverbs, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So when we get ahead of God, it doesn't mean that whatever the plan that God had for you isn't going to happen. It just might be a little more uncomfortable for you. But if you wait on God, it might run a little bit smoother. So the benefits of honoring God improves the quality of our life. A good example of that would be David. David, when people looked at David, they saw him just as a shepherd boy. And he was the last of all of the sons that Jesse had. But David waited on God. And because he waited on God, and when Samuel came to anoint him as king, it wasn't the next day that he was anointed king. It was 15 years later, or maybe even more than that. But the point being is he waited on God. And because he waited on God, he honors God. He's showing God that by waiting on him, he's honoring God. And when we honor God, he honors us. And we know David wasn't perfect. He made some bad choices. But the thing about David was he repented. We all make bad choices. We all make mistakes. We all get ahead of ourselves. But if we stop and we say, Lord, I'm wrong. I repent. I blew it. I went my way. I wanted it my way. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your mercy and your grace. Mercy that you want to be forgiven, but God's grace that he will continually bless you. And that's what God's promise is when we come to repentance, he says, I throw that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Let's move on. Let's move on into the things I called you. And with David, a man who God called a man after his own heart. How many of us, and I'm sure every one of us would raise our hands, how many of us would like to hear God say that about us? That we are a person after God's heart. Well, when we honor God, that's what we're saying. We're saying, I'm putting you first, God. We're saying, I honor you above all things and above everyone else. I put you first. Honoring God improves the lives of those around you as well. Let's look at the example of Zacchaeus. I talked about him last week, how when Jesus passed Zacchaeus that was in the tree, he told Zacchaeus to come down, that he was going to his house today. Well, that simple gesture of Jesus showing Zacchaeus love and that he didn't despise Zacchaeus, that he was going to his house. That was such an impact on Zacchaeus. Like I said last week, he ends up being a preacher of the word. He ends up being known as one of the main leaders of the church and ministering the word. But the thing is Jesus impacted his life, and so Zacchaeus wanted to impact other lives. And that's what we're to do. When we honor God, because he came and impacted our lives, we need to do the same. Now, I want to share this true story. Both of these stories, the first one I told you this morning already was a true story, but this one's a true story, and it's actually about someone in this particular state of Illinois. The other day I was listening, and I love how God does this, because when I get a message together, I know that it's not done. I know there's more to a message than what I've got. And I just kind of wait on the Lord, and sure as shooting, as I was at work, And I'm either listening to music, Christian music, or what they call the unfolding. And what it is, it's on the website of WBGL, and it's stories, short stories of people whose lives were changed. But it's, you know, a lot of times it's about maybe Christian musicians or, you know, people that have come, like Kirk Cameron, that, you know, was a star on TV, and now he does things for the Lord and he ministers. But this particular story, when I heard this, I go, wow, Lord, now I know my message is complete. It's about this Mike in Shannery, okay, and I am not going to even try to spell this last name or say this last name because it's quite a name. They're from Carbondale, Illinois. This couple, they were both radiologists. Now, they had been married before, and they ended up getting divorced, and they had met each other when they were going to medical school, and they both became radiologists, and they both had previous children children from their previous marriage, and then they had, I think, two or three more when they got married. But anyway, they had the American dream. They had it all. They had their great careers of being radiologists. They had great salaries. They had healthy children. They had a big house. They had these great cars. They had the American dream. So the thing is this. They were married 10, 15 years, and during that period of time, there was a wall that was beginning to be built up. Now, after listening to the story, I would say it was just that void, because they knew there was more to life, but they had, you know, they had everything. They thought they had everything. They didn't believe in God. So if they didn't believe in God, they certainly didn't believe in Christ. So their marriage was going south. I mean, they built up these walls between each other, and they were constantly, for 10 or more years, digging at each other. Bitterness and just lashing out at each other. Nothing physical. It was always just a verbal. There was always verbal confrontations between the two of them. And so, I come to think after listening to this story a couple of times that it was because there was this void that all these things they had couldn't fill that void, which caused them to be frustrated. And so when they were frustrated, they were taking that frustration out on each other. And they just tolerated. They literally just got to the point where they just tolerated each other. That's all they did. And the thing was, is apparently their families were not from where they were working in Carbondale. So they didn't have a lot of family around them. So the only people they knew were people they worked with at this hospital. Well, the wife or the husband would come home from the day and they'd say, anything new happened today? And they had this running joke. Yeah, I met a new person today. It's a Christian. And it got to where when they would come home, they'd be laughing and saying, you'd never guess, I met another person today, and guess what? They were Christian. More, I mean, they had so many people that were Christians that they met, They were making a joke out of it. They were literally making a joke out of it. It was like, you know, it didn't click to them that maybe God was trying to get their attention, maybe. But they thought it was funny. So these Christians, of course, would invite them to church, and they would come up with every excuse they could not to come. Or they would go to church service, but then they'd leave early. Okay? But then something happened. They had went to this party. Well, let's put it this way. What appeared to be an event that was probably, to them at that particular time, one of the worst things that could ever have happened to in their lives, because they're radiologists, they're doctors. And Carbondale is a big town, but it's not a, you know, a huge city. But, you know, everybody would know about this event. But something that appeared to be the worst thing in their life ended up being the best thing that could have ever happened. And what happened was this. The couple had their children, and they went to a party, whether it was a family party, whether it was a graduation party. I don't know what kind of party it was. But they went to this party, and when they were ready to go home, the husband says to his wife, "I cannot drive. I've had too much to drink." She goes, "Well, I'm probably no better than you are." And he goes, "Well, you're probably better than I am, so here's the keys. You drive." So she drives the car. These kids are in the back seat. Now, she's driving, and she gets pulled over, and what had happened was is somebody saw her driving so erratically that they reported her, and the police stopped and pulled her over. And, of course, they did the breathalyzer test. She failed it. They also did the walking, the straight line thing. She failed it. They put handcuffs on her and took her to jail, or took her to the police station. And, of course, now the husband, he was worse than she was. There was no way they were going to let him have the keys and take those children home. I mean, the children are in the car. I mean, and you know, anybody would think, you know, it's one thing if you two are in the car, but you had your kids in the car and you're in this shape. So what's he do? Because they have no family around. And they're standing there, and he can't drive. So what do? They end up calling these Christians to come and pick him up and help him take the kids home, and then he would go to the police station. Those Christians did that, but they not only did that, they took him to the police station and bailed her out. With that being said, they started to go to church. They felt like, well, we owe it to this Christian friends for what they did. So they started going to church. And after a couple of years, they dedicated themselves, the husband and wife, to the Lord. And again, like I said, they were radiologists. And during this time, they grew in their faith and their relationship with God. And they wanted God to use the talent, the gift that they were given of being radiologists. And so they decided, we're going to sell our house, because to them that was a chain that was holding them to the material things of the world. They sold this beautiful home, and for what they asked for, that's what they got. And they ended up moving into a house that was 10% the price of the house they sold. That's how much downsizing they did. And with that, she's at work at the hospital in, I believe, Carbondale. And she's, you know, she's doing her job. And she just said, "Lord," she goes, "I know, you know, if you want us to stay here, we'll do that." And they did. They sent money to different missions groups. They, you know, they stepped out and did some other things. But they just had this nudging inside them that they were to do something more than just that. And that God had something bigger for them, and not material wise, something bigger, because of their talent, their gift of being radiologist doctors. So she starts looking on the internet for missions, and she finds this one. It's called Christian Health Service Corp. And what it is they were looking for medical professionals to go in around the world of in an area of greatest need. Come to find out, Kenya had been praying for 10 years for a radiologist. 10 years! So they decided they were going to pack up their kids and they were going to go visit. They had called this corp, Missions Corp, and they got all their questions answered. They were excited. They wanted to go see this place in Kenya. Now, as they were taking this trip to this hospital, it was a missionary hospital. They spent 2 weeks there. Now, this missions hospital at first was what they called, it started out to be a mission clinic, but the need was so great for this hospital that now today it's a 300-bed hospital. And it's not like our hospitals. They said the beds, are all by each other. There's no separate rooms. It's, one. It's like a ward, in different locations, different departments of the hospital. But the word had gotten out that when they arrived to do this tour at this missions hospital, the word had gotten out on the other floors that there were radiologists in the building. Again, now they've been praying for these radiologists for over 10 years. While they're doing a tour with this couple, different departments were calling and asking for these radiologists that before they leave, would they please come up to their department? They had some questions they wanted to ask them. In other words, they would have hired them right there on the spot. They wouldn't have got to go back home. They needed them that badly. And they gave an example of one where, and I'm sure they answered all these replies as best they could while they were there. But this one particular one was a child who they couldn't figure out why he had the problem that he had. They did go in more detail. I'm not going to do that. But they had these x-rays, but they didn't have somebody that could read them as well. These were all doctors. There was no radiologist there. They were just doctors. Doctors were just kind of guesstimating what these x-rays were saying. So when these radiologists showed up, they sent them up to this department where this child was, and the radiologist looks at the x-rays, and he tells them, now, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I recommend. And they were going to give him, just before this radiologist looked at these x-rays, these doctors were going to give this child some other medication. And if he had gotten that medication, he would have died. He would have died. But because for such a time as this, like Esther, God put them there right then at that right place. And when they saw those x-rays, that doctor said, don't give him those steroids. Don't give him, that will kill him. And as it turned out, the boy, his life was saved because they had someone that knew how to read the x-rays. Now, he's what they call a general radiologist. But his wife, she specialized in mammography, which is, x-rays of the breast looking for tumors. And she said to her husband, Mike, she goes, Mike, that's all great for you. They need a general radiologist. But for me, Kenya, they're not going to have a mammography machine there. There's no way that they're going to need me. There's no way they're going to use me. And he says, he kind of laughed. He goes, well, he said, I made the biggest mistake I ever made when I got, since I was married. He says, I told her I would train her. He goes, you don't tell your wife you're going to train her when she's got what she's got, then the knowledge that she has. It didn't go all well, he said. It did not go very well. So anyway, they were continuing their tour. And as they went through this one room had been torn up. It looked like they'd been remodeling it or something. And Mike and his wife said, what's this room for? And the tour guide said, this room is for the new mammography machine that's coming in that was donated by another country. But we don't have anyone that knows how to read mammography x-rays. What's that tell you? God is the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. What he brought Esther in at the time that she needed to be there to save the people of Israel. God brought this couple in for such a time. That's God. That's got to be God for them to realize that She's a, you know, her specialty is mammography. His is general radiologist. And yet, here's a machine coming in that was donated to the Hospital of Kenya right at that particular time. And, of course, that got her all fired up because she knew this was, and these things were going on for 2 weeks while they were there touring and meeting people and stuff. It was one confirmation like this, one after another, after another, after another, to tell them, yes, this is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. But the thing is this, you know, they said, you know, Lord, we're not complaining. We are so glad that you, we're so blessed that you sent us here and you're using our gift as radiologists. But we also want to minister the gospel. Well, it turns out that all these other countries around Kenya were sending people who wanted to know more of and learn more on the medical field, but the requirement for them to be taught under these radiologists or any of the doctors that were there, the requirement was they must hear the gospel. They must be also educated in the Word of God. So not only were they going to teach the medical aspect of things, they were going to get the opportunity to preach and to teach the gospel. I mean, that's all of it, all rolled up in one. It was a way of God saying, yes, this is where I want you. So God not only met them where they were at in their life, where they were bickering with each other, but that he made a plan. He had a future. He had a hope for them. Like it says in Jeremiah, and honoring God offers a hope for a better future. In John 14:13, it says, before Jesus returns to his heavenly Father, he promised to return for all those who remain faithful. We all want to experience that new earth when Jesus comes back the second time, right? We all want to experience the earth made new and all the benefits that come with it. There are so many, many rewards, and we know that. We've experienced some of those promises, those rewards. But there's so many rewards for those who choose to honor God. So when we honor God, like I said earlier in closing, we are giving God our attention. That's simple as that. That's the bottom line. When we honor God, it's because we intentionally, deliberately want to take time and fellowship with him, praise him, worship him. We're honoring God. When we honor God, guess what? When we honor God, we've got his attention. What better audience to have than God, their creator? We've got his attention. So when we share, when we talk about God to others, God listens and he values it. In closing, this last scripture, Malachi. When I read this, I go, poof, there it is, right there. I did not know this. I learned something, and I thank the Lord. It's Malachi 3:16. It talks about the book of remembrance. Now, we've heard that a lot, haven't we, the book of remembrance? Listen to this. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. Sharing the gospel, right? The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Sounds like the book of our names written in the book of life, right? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome message. And Father, as we go through today and tomorrow, this week, and for the rest of our lives, show us ways that we can honor you, Lord. Show us ways that when we want your attention, Lord, show us that as we give our attention to you, we have your attention. And Father, we desire to grow in opportunities to praise you, to worship you, to honor you, to glorify you, to worship you, to praise you, Father, because we know then we are pleasing in your sight. But also, Father, let us have the gift of sharing and caring and showing the gospel in what we say and what we do. Showing others your love, because you impacted us with your love. Let us impact others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand, and I will go ahead and give you the benediction. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord's face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.